The 1-900 Wrestling Program is brought to you, as always, by Patreon.com/1900WrestlingFans. All you have to do is dial that one up on your internet-provided device and kick us a little scratch. Here's what you get for your money. You can be the person who joins the next one of our best friends that is in our Discord talking live wrestling like nobody can. Don't be a chode. Head on over there right now and be a part of our Wrestle Fund over there at Patreon.com/1900Wrestling. Oh, by the way, you're like, well, what do I get? What do I get in that Discord? How about this? How about you have a man inside the Tokyo Dome for Wrestle Kingdom? You are going to get the sights and sounds, the likes of which you will never see. Of course, we will do our own audio documentary like we normally do, but you will get to see it as it happens. Folks, go over there right now, patreon.com/1900Wrestling. But enough of talking about how we support the show. What do you say we just do the damn thing?
I want you to call me for all of wrestling's latest news and views. I've been involved in wrestling for 35 years, and nobody knows wrestling like me. Remember the number,
1-900-WRESTLING.
Oh, hell yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to 1-900-WRESTLING. This is the best of the best. Listen, you've tried the rest. Now sample the best. This is, my name is Justin Robert Young. Joining me as always, Willie Dills Gregory. How you doing?
Doing as good as I can be doing, as a man who just got his electricity back and still doesn't have water. But I'm
feeling like you guys are suffering.
There was a good moment when the electricity came back. That was like a victorious moment. So I'm hopeful that pretty soon the water will come back. I have some coffee because I luckily am one of those guys who keeps like a full teapot full of water at all times. So ready to rock there. But Iggy's getting thirsty. And all I have is bottled water right now.
Uh-oh. Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to do our best to quench your thirst with wrestling knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
A huge week. And we missed our Monday. But you want to know what? I'm glad. I'm glad we did. Because for those of you who are just tuning in, either watching on twitch.tv/JustinRYoung or are listening, our dear, dear listeners on podcasts, wherever they might find you, you will know that one of the things that I have told Willie time and time again is as much as you might want it, as much as you might need it, broken Matt Hardy is never coming to the WWE. You just
now
have
you
to
weren't
understand
wrong.
It.
Broken Matt Hardy is not coming to the WWE.
Yes.
If you want to get into semantics, you know, you can say, hey, I won that bet. I was correct. Broken Matt Hardy, not here. Nowhere to be found. However, Woken Matt Hardy has definitely entered the building and is not going anywhere anytime soon. This is happening.
Let me ask you, where were you when you first understood that you would again have that voice in your life?
So, okay, I was actually watching Raw. I normally don't watch Raw live because I don't have cable TV. It's hard for me to watch Raw live. I will say I found a way to watch it that evening.
Yeah.
And I don't really know why. I think it was just because, you know, I just wasn't doing anything else at the moment, right? And so this was 2 weeks ago, right?
Yeah.
And so he has a match with Bray Wyatt.
Yep.
Not like a super interesting. There wasn't anything super special about this match,
yeah,
right? It was a match, and I don't think they had wrestled before, so it was kind of fun to see those two guys go at it. But I thought it was kind of like, I remember thinking, well, that's weird. I was hoping that Bray Wyatt would be the guy that Broken Matt Hardy would wrestle when he actually became broken.
Yeah.
That was, I think, the feud a lot of people looked at and thought that's the one that makes sense.
I think this was the feud that they wanted. I mean, if you remember back in Final Deletion era, it was Bray Wyatt hitting up Matt Hardy on Twitter and them going back and forth. And
that's
it wasn't
true.
Long after the Final Deletion that, remember, there was that Wyatt family New Day feud that had the Wyatt family compound fight.
No, that's very true. I mean, it all felt kind of like, that's where we would eventually be headed, right? So then I was like, Wait, he's not broken. Like, they're just going to have a one-off match just because Jeff is injured or something. Like, that's how it felt, right?
Yeah.
Didn't feel like anything was going to happen.
No.
And then all of a sudden, he gets hit with a Sister Abigail, and apparently the force of a Sister Abigail is insane because it awoke the Matt Hardy was just the vessel. Sorry, Matthew Hardy was just the vessel.
Yes.
And the soul inside, which had been, you know, roaming for millennia, although not lost, apparently, was awoken inside Matthew Hardy. So here we go. And then you could see, I mean, it was happening. But it was kind of also then it was weird because it was just kind of one of those we're going to commercial type moments.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like they really made a huge deal. It was just like, oh, my God, here we go. And then we waited a week.
Yes. Right? Now you got the sense the first week that this was not a false start. Rebby Hardy starts tweeting. Matt starts signaling, you know, that this is going to be the thing. But we had not seen, and this is really what I love the most about this gimmick, it's the voice. The voice, to me, is maybe one of the greatest contributions to professional wrestling in my lifetime. Him doing every accent at the same time is just the best. There's something about it that I find lyrical and comforting. It is beyond compare. And you didn't know exactly how much he was going to be able to do that. Because at that point, and let's bring this through the timeline. So Matt Hardy does, takes the Sister Abigail.
Yes.
And all of a sudden starts doing the delete, delete, delete while looking maniacal in the corner.
But first he kind of like starts, she's freaking out, like that something has happened.
Yeah.
And then, delete just like one, then a couple more, and then, and then it's very clear he is now morphed into Woken Matt Hardy.
On television, they highlighted it. There was a lot of Corey and Booker, you know, like, what's going on with Matt Hardy, right?
Yeah.
It is,
and it was like, you know, it was a tight shot on him for a while. So
for a while,
focus on him.
We find out during the week that Ed Nordholm, the man who calls the shots there at Anthem, says, "Well, hell, you know, we have our new deals with everybody. Says that they're going to be allowed to use their gimmicks when they leave Impact." And we are amending all of our old agreements to say the same. This is a far cry from the Ed Nordholm who was saying, I'm sorry, Matt and Rebby Hardy. No matter how much you might have contributed to this character, you are under the payroll of Impact. And you will have to either make a deal with us for the licensing of the character, or you will not be able to do the character or we will sue you. Now, the difference between Ed Nordholm then and Ed Nordholm now is that Jeff Jarrett is no longer running wrestling operations for Impact. Allegedly, and this is backed up by reporting that we have seen now, allegedly, Jeff Jarrett was the one who was against, letting anybody take their IP. You own the wrestler's IP. That's what you do. That's what being a wrestling company is. So now we have the biggest impediment to the bit being on WWE kind of resolved. So bring me through, Dills, how you experienced what happened on Monday night.
So then this Monday night, you know, it's Raw. Raw is happening. And then we get, which is, you know, sometimes awesome and oftentimes falls flat. We get just one of those backstage kind of promo segments, right?
Yeah.
Just pops up on the big screen.
Yeah.
And it's Bray Wyatt and he's doing his cryptic Bray Wyatt stuff, which, you know, it's funny because so many people used to be really into this Bray Wyatt character.
Yes.
And I still am, but I do understand why it's maybe gotten a little long in the tooth, right? Like, it's a little, we've now seen these promos from him so many times that it's hard to continue to stay excited, right?
Yeah.
So he comes on, he's doing his thing, he's talking about who is Matt Hardy, and all this kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden, You think I've never seen WWE do this before, by the way, which was this like cut back and forth between two guys doing a promo that they're not necessarily talking to each other, but they are, right? Like it's edited in such a way that each thing that kind of they say is referring to the last thing or setting up the next thing.
Yeah.
All of a sudden it cuts to Matt Hardy. The crowd goes nuts.
Let's go ahead and hear
it
now.
Yes, it just opens with that. And he goes into his whole spiel about, you know, being a soul who's been roaming for millennia or whatever, but not lost. And he's studied in the halls of Alexandria or whatever. And, oh, my God, he's fought alongside Genghis Khan.
Genghis Khan!
It was the best thing. And I've watched this promo now probably about 6 or 7 times. And it makes me smile and laugh every single time. Like it was, and at that moment it was like, okay, no, they're not going to give us a weird watered down version.
No.
Yes, they're going to rename it, but they're not going to give us some half-assed version where he doesn't really get to be what he was.
I mean, he's wearing the weird crushed velvet top of.
He's starting to tease his hair now again, so it's like really fluffy instead of just kind of like the straight down old Matt Hardy style.
Yeah.
You know, he never lost the little blonde thing, but he definitely like it was, you know, he was like half-assed broken Matt Hardy, right? He would do the delete like arm motion. He would do the arms out to the side and stuff. He would do the teethy smile. But this is like true Matt Hardy.
No,
like
I mean, listen, as soon as you're getting into conditions and all the people that he has, inhabited and the people that he's friends with, you know, we are getting the whole hog. And what was amazing about it to me, number one, here was the first amazing thing. I had a friend of mine, or our friend Katie and James, who we went to WrestleMania with. They live in L.A., Raw was in L.A. They were at Raw. All of a sudden, I get a text message from Katie. Now, I was not watching Raw live. I was trying to get some work done, and I was at a bar where I was also watching the Steelers game. Backstory, Katie is also a Steelers fan. So all of a sudden, I get a text message that says, here we go. And I'm watching the Steelers games. The Steelers are not doing really well. So I'm about to tell her, like, the fuck do you mean here we go? Like, this game is awful. And then I remember she's at Raw. And then I remember if there is one thing that she is texting me about, it is that the Matt Hardy segment is about to happen. And for a segment that was taped, how many times do you hear people excited to be live at a place where they played the tape? Like, it was amazing. That crowd reaction was insane. And what it really, beyond being thrilled that Matt Hardy is back, it made Bray seem fresh.
It's funny. I going on like Squared Circle afterwards, it was weird because all these people were, you know, kind of crapping on the fact that the crowd was popping every time Woke and Matt Hardy was on the screen and then silent for Bray. And I think people are maybe a little bit misinterpreting that, which is just they're very excited about Matt Hardy right
now. As they should be.
Yeah. But Bray was like, he was the perfect kind of anti-hero to the superhero of Woke and Matt Hardy, because, you know, who else could pull off this laughing outro that they did?
Yeah.
Where, you know, Bray, we're used to Bray's laugh, which is pretty sick. Like, it's an awesome maniacal laugh, yeah. Right? And then you get Matt Hardy's version, which is just ridiculous. Yeah. It's like what I love about Matt Hardy's thing is that it's not what you'd expect. Like, it's kind of like what, like, if like a high school kid or something was like, all right, come up with like a wrestling gimmick and wasn't, you know, super good at accents or something. So just did something that they could do. And then it just kind of built upon itself. That's kind of what we're at, right? Like you said, the accent, what is it? Is it Southern? Is it English? I don't know what it is.
What accent is it? Every.
It's just him doing a weird accent. Like, it's just what he came up with as a weird accent.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where everything was like not like it's not that good, but all of it together is so good.
It's
I don't understand.
Like, what is the accent for Genghis Khan? Like, there's no accent. There's no language that demands you in English say Genghis Khan. It's brilliant. I thought that the crowd reaction was amazing. I was so excited to watch it. Now, here's what surprised me, though. This was the reporting out, I think, either yesterday or today from Jim Barrasso. Tom Barrasso's the old fucking Penguins goalie. Mr. Barrasso of Sports Illustrated, his reporting is that the reason why they are getting he got the kind of push he did. This was late in the show, by the way. I think that they saved this reveal for right before the main event.
Yeah, it was kind of on the one of those things where everyone was like, are they just not going to address what happened last week? You know, that Matt Hardy clearly has transformed into Woken Matt Hardy. Like, it had been on Twitter. Everyone knew it was coming.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it's like not being addressed at the next Raw, you know? So I think everyone was a little on the edge of their seats about when it was going to happen. So it was like a nice big release when it actually did.
Well, look at this. This is the reporting from Sports Illustrated. Matt Hardy's broken status has been reawoken, and there's a significant proponent for the Woken character in WWE. It is none other than Meek Mahan himself, Vince McMahon. Hardy's mannerisms, creativity, and passion for the character will be on full display within his Woken state. A contact within WWE reached out to inform Sports Illustrated that Hardy will be allowed creative license by Meek Mahan, who sees the opportunity to cash in on a character that's already established. Like, that's pretty much everything that you want, right? Because the big question for wrestling fans after the tease is, what kind of Matt Hardy are we going to get with this version? It certainly looked like we were getting the whole hog in the video package. And if Vince McMahon is behind it, literally the only thing else that we want is pre-tapes, right? Like,
yeah,
we want
the pre-tapes. We want Vanguard 1. We want Senior Benjamin. We want Rebby. We want the full thing, right?
Senior Benjamin's got to make an appearance.
Yeah, right? Like King Maxwell. We got to get all of it, right? Like, it just needs to all happen. And yeah, a lot of pre-tape segments. We need a lot of that. We need a lot of, you know. Okay, so another thing I saw somebody bring up on Squared Circle that I didn't even think about, which is brilliant, is, you know, Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt's House of Horrors match kind of fell flat in a lot of people's eyes, right?
Yeah.
So that, I mean, and maybe it's not Bray Wyatt's fault. Maybe the fault lies on the fact that Randy Orton's not really the proper foil for a House of Horrors match, right? So, I mean, if you watch like the match in the backyard of the Hardy's estate between like Jeff and Matt, that thing was amazing. I would love to see, you know, something like that where Woken Matt has like set up this, you know,
arena for
them to battle.
There is no doubt in my mind that Bray Wyatt can fill the shoes of the Decay and the other people that they worked into, like the you know, all the other crazy tag, the tag team Apocalypto and stuff like that. Bray Wyatt's fine. He'll be able to handle it. He'll be able to do it.
Now, I guess, like, where this all kind of ends up going, because I would like, obviously, you'd like to see kind of the full spectrum of this all happen, but I do like the fact that they didn't just kind of retell the same story, right? They're just allowing the character to come back, and then they're going to hopefully be just, like, telling new stories with this cast of characters, which everybody just loves watching. But I would like to see when Jeff comes back, then you can turn Jeff into Brother Nero again and all that kind of stuff. Could be pretty cool, right?
I mean,
Jeff could come back and be like, what the hell happened? Like, I thought we left this behind or something. You know what I mean? There could be some really interesting stuff there. The whole thing, just there's too many possibilities. I'm just kind of like, I see a lot of people trying to figure it out. I'm just along for the ride at this point.
I'll tell you what, seven deities take the wheel. That's exactly my official stance on this. Like, I don't care what Matt Hardy wants to do. I'm here for all of it. I was here for all of it with Impact. I'm here for all of it with the WWE. All it takes is for him to, you know, give him a special on the network, right? Let him shoot his own crazy crap down there in North Carolina.
Anything he wants to do. Yeah. YouTube videos on the WWE YouTube channel, whatever he wants to do, I don't care. Like, just let him do it, because he's the one who knows this character. He understands what the arc should probably be. The funny thing is, like, Vince likes control, right? He likes to control things. He likes to be the man in charge. But you know what he also really likes? He likes money. Well, I think when he looks at the Woken Matt Hardy character, he sees the ability to make money off of something that already is like it's hot, right? Like there's no need to build this. It is built, right? And you could just unleash it and let it go and cash in. So
is it safe to say now that the WWE has the best of everything that Impact ever did, now that they have AJ Styles and Samoa Joe and Broken Matt Hardy? Like, I mean, is that
Bobby Roode?
Like, is there anything else that Impact
They don't
did?
Have Austin Aries. Austin anymore. Aries is the defiant champion now.
Yeah, anymore, right? They had Austin Aries, but
you had him, yeah. Yeah, I mean, they don't have the six-sided ring or the eight, whatever it is.
It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, that's fine. You can have that.
You want to know what? All right.
Yeah, no, pretty much. You know, they even at this point have their version of the X Division, right? They got 205 Live. And by the way, 205 Live has been actually finally putting on some awesome matches. They seem to be letting them do stuff now. You got Enzo and you got Drew Gulak and you got it. It's kind of all happening right now. Like, I would say the only thing I'm disappointed in right now in WWE, and I'll talk to you about it, I guess, later, is SmackDown. Suddenly is not like the... Like, Raw is, like, last year it was SmackDown, right? SmackDown was hot as hell.
Yeah.
This year it is clearly Raw. Like, Raw is insane right now. I want to sit through 3 hours of Raw. That's crazy.
And that is saying something.
Yeah.
Well, you want to let's get into SmackDown, because I think I agree with you that SmackDown hasn't gelled. There's a lot of kind of jagged edges that, like, They got a lot of interesting places they could go, but they have not gone there yet. And it doesn't help SmackDown feeling like the B brand when Raw brings back a long sought after returning star in Paige and gives her a posse. And then the next night, we just kind of get a girl group on SmackDown
Because I guess so. Yeah. Like, it was very strange to me that the Riot Squad just kind of happened. Ruby Riot is great. I didn't expect her to suddenly jump from NXT to the SmackDown roster, though. Like, that seemed to kind of just happen for whatever reason. Maybe they just felt like they wanted another like dominant faction of female wrestlers running around on both brands, I guess.
Well, there's
the problem
rumor,
is that
there's a rumor going around that we're going to get a Lady Royal Rumble.
Okay,
and
fair
so,
enough.
So you
cool.
need you need to you need to you need to you know make it worth it by having a roster that can have 30 woman battle royal, right?
Yeah. Oh, that's definitely fair. I mean, but you can obviously like you can pull from the Mae Young Classic if you want to. You can do all sorts of stuff. But the problem that I have with it. Is that Paige comes back with who is it? It's Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So she's got like her UFC, you know, MMA fighters.
Yeah.
By her side, who look like they could kick ass.
Well, I mean, Mandy Rose is the cute blonde, right?
Sure. Paige is
the goth chick, and Sonya is the rough and tumble chick. And then you look at the Riot Squad. Sarah Logan's the rough and tumble chick. Ruby Riott's the goth chick, and Liv Morgan's the cute blonde.
The cute one, yeah. But the problem is that, like, you know, Paige's posse is actually kicking ass, and the Riot Squad is not? I don't know what they're doing, really. Like, they're acting like they're, like, the tough, mean girls, and then, like, they came out for this segment where they were like, we're here to fight, and then two of them started fighting, and then they just, like, the other one started, like, breaking up the fight. I was like, that's when you're all supposed to fight. Like, you're supposed to, like, kick everyone's ass. And Paige's crew is actually doing that, and I don't know. It's kind of weird. I'm not really understanding what's happening here. But you're right. That makes sense. They just need to get a lot of women up here and make them all look tough, right?
Yeah. You know, it's The funny thing is, I think I like the Riot Squad better, like in terms of talent. Like, I'm really bullish on Sarah Logan,
and sure,
I think that Liv Morgan is kind of, you know, we are now at a point where the wrestling has gotten so good on the women's side that both Mandy Rose and Liv Morgan look like the kind of girls that Vince McMahon would have wanted back in the 90s, sure. Right? Maybe a little bit less on the TNA. They look like actual athletes and not models, right?
Yeah.
But they're gorgeous and they can go, or at least theoretically can, right?
They look like they can actually fight. Like it's not just brawn panties matches and stuff that they can perform in, right? They can actually go. I will say this, I love Sarah Logan's promos because it's hard for her, but her accent is awesome.
Yeah.
And her character is hilarious. So I think she's my favorite of the three for sure. Cause like her whole thing, like there was somebody posted something about, did she just say gay meat? Because she was talking about how Daniel Bryan had never been to the South and had never eaten game meat.
Game
I think
meat.
Is what she said.
Yeah. Game meat.
Yeah, game meat, like venison. Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, game meat is what it sounded
no,
like.
No, yeah. not gay
places.
Meat. No, no, no. Yeah. I just kind of feel like right now SmackDown, even though they've got the pay-per-view coming up, it does just kind of feel like they're in a holding pattern, right? Like the WWE champion, obviously this gender thing is just over. Right, like they're gonna do one more match, but you can't imagine
they have
gonna
to, like,
get the title
it,
back.
Right, they have to like put the cap on it now.
Yeah, so
that's
done.
Part of the reason why it feels that way, right? Like that's part of the way it feels like we're in a holding pattern. Is like you look at what's happening at the card for Clash of Champions, which is still a couple weeks away, but the card for it is, I'd say, mostly there. Like it's at least more than halfway there. The big matches are in, so AJ Styles' gender, and That's a match that's like hard to get excited for again, right? Like it was super cool when you saw AJ win on SmackDown because nobody thought that they were going to have Jinder drop the title on SmackDown, right? So that was like the thing about that. I assume AJ is just going to win again. Then you got Charlotte Flair and Natalya, which I feel it's like
that's
feel
another
like we've seen this for
that's another
a while.
Cap. Put the cap on.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So let's like end that one. Then you got Baron Corbin, Bobby Roode, Dolph Ziggler, and it's kind of like, so why is Dolph Ziggler suddenly there? And a lot of people are speculating it's just so that Bobby Roode and Baron Corbin don't have to eat a pin.
Yeah.
And Ziggler will do it. So that's another weird one. And then you've got this like four-way tag team champion match, which is going to be fun, clearly.
Yeah.
But it's, again, a bunch of people who have kind of been fighting for a while. It's like it's hard because they are a smaller roster with only 2 hours to work with, obviously, but it's like it's hard to find the next guy for people to fight.
You want to know what? And this is the golden age of SmackDown booking. When they first came back, it shows you the value of Ellsworth. That entire Ellsworth run. The whole like he's friends with Dean and they got probably 8 weeks out of building up like Ellsworth beating AJ with Dean as the special guest referee and all the permutations, and it built right up to him betraying Dean at Tables, Ladders, and Chairs, and it was just great. It was awesome. But that's like, to me, that is SmackDown at its, or wrestling booking like at its best, where it's like, give us the little stories, just the side quests. Your daily, your weekly show are the side quests. With the larger arc being, the big pay-per-views, the big matches. So
sure,
right now it's like I want to see where we go with Sammy and Kevin.
Yeah, that's the most interesting part of the show to me is those guys right now. And I'm really looking forward to this match, Randy Orton Shinsuke. It's gonna be fun. The weird thing, I don't know if I like the if they lose their fired stipulation, because then it kind of makes you go like, well, they're not going to get fired, right? I don't like stips where it makes you think you know what's going to happen, right? So
I mean, listen, how many times did Stone Cold get fired, right?
That's true. They could definitely just fire him and then have it be a whole, that's a storyline, is them trying to get back in WWE.
Well, because also there is one element of the storytelling that I do love with all this, which is, it seems like Shane McMahon wanted to fire them weeks ago. So what do you say they actually lose this match? What do you say they actually get fired? And what do you say that the what is it, the commissioner or what is Daniel Bryan, the commissioner or the general
manager? So, yeah, he's the commissioner and McMahon is the general manager.
Got you.
Yeah. Whatever that means.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, Reggie 33, bring it, has it.
There you go.
See him get
Daniel
fired
Bryan
and Daniel
faction
Bryan
with Kevin Owens
back.
And Sami Zayn. Yeah.
So, like, that seems we're going to see a split between Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan, and I think Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens are going to be the reason for it.
So then what does Daniel Bryan do in that scenario? Like, does he wrestle? Is this like pave the way for them to say, all right, we know you want to get back in the ring. You keep hinting at the fact that you'll leave after your contract is up if you can't wrestle here because you want to wrestle so bad. Like, I mean, they let Kurt Angle don a Shield outfit and get out there.
So
is it impossible?
No, I don't think so. And Brie Bella did an interview to say that they've been to doctors and doctors have cleared them. They just need WWE to clear them. It seems to me that at some point Daniel Bryan's going to wrestle again.
He is. Like, I guarantee it. He's going to wrestle again. Yeah. It's just a matter of whether WWE lets him do it or not. Like, they have to let him do it to keep him in any capacity. Otherwise, he's gone. He's like immediately ROH New Japan guy again, like, if they don't.
Well, I'll tell you what, this isn't WWE, but let's take a brief detour here. Apparently, within the next 2 weeks, we are going to hear the venue and date of a 10,000-seat independent show booked by Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks. This would be a huge moment in independent professional wrestling, considering that venue size. The rumors are it is either going to be Ontario, California, where they did the Bullet Club Invasion outside of L.A., San Francisco at the Cow Palace, London, or Chicago. And Cody Rhodes has said his dream match would be him versus Daniel Bryan.
Hmm. Well, you know, if we don't know the date and all that kind of stuff yet, but they did say like that they had got some of this stuff is already kind of lined up. Like, they're just not announcing everything yet.
Yeah.
But, like, some of this stuff has already kind of happened. The other rumor, and it was just posted in our chat, was that Dolph Ziggler would be potentially wanting to leave WWE pretty soon. He would be a pretty big name to add to a 10,000-seat arena card.
Oh,
as
they're
going
to need name recognition because that's a lot of people.
10,000
people is that's a venue that Raw plays, and Raw, you know, very often doesn't sell out. You know, they pack everybody on that hard cam side.
Now there is the added benefit of it being kind of a spectacle, right? Of it being like, oh, we're gonna go see like the biggest indie event that's ever happened, kind of thing.
And certainly they would call in every favor from everybody they possibly could. The rumor is they want to they want to work with ROH talent. But I don't, I part of me just thinks there's no way that WWE lets Daniel Bryan walk, right?
Yeah. It feels like that would be too soon to me. But like I said, like it's, you know, when his contract is done, if he's not wrestling, he's gone. So then it really just comes down to, like, you know, what other stuff is on in that contract about how soon can he wrestle for other people and all that kind of stuff. Like, you know, I don't know the details. But.
I guess to your point about Daniel Bryan, why turn him heel if he can't wrestle? Right. The point of having
like, what does he do if he's against, you know, Shane McMahon, who obviously can wrestle and wants to do crazy stuff every time he does. Right. You know, do you feel okay having Daniel Bryan hold the garbage can in front of his face while Shane coast to coast him? Like, do you feel okay?
Yeah.
I mean, Daniel Bryan can obviously roll off of a table while Shane jumps off of a really high place. That doesn't cause concussions, but you want to see him actually do stuff in return. You want to see Daniel Bryan do some kicks. You want to see him like run up the, you know, the, turnbuckles and jump and flip over somebody. You want to see him suicide dive to the outside. You want to see, you know, all that stuff if you get a Daniel Bryan in the wrestling ring. So,
yeah, I mean, I think we can do without the flying headbutt. I think we can all agree.
Yeah, let's and the headbutt spots. Just forget all that
all
stuff.
The headbutt spots. Let's just be done with those. Yeah. There's plenty
the,
that he
the
can do.
The drop kick off the top ropes where he lands flat on his back really hard. That we could probably do without too. Yeah. We just want like energetic Daniel Bryan, right? Without fear of head injury.
There is, of course, this idea if Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks bring that show to Chicago.
We have left. We want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Wish I would have queued this up better. I mean, that would set the wrestling world on fire.
No,
right?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm thinking, you know, you got to get... If you're really going to do this, you probably got to get some big returning name, and a CM Punk would be perfect. Like, that's why I'm thinking about, like, the Dolph Ziggler if he leaves and stuff like that. Kenny Omega coming over to do it. So, you know, you need some other big names. You can't just sell it on Cody. Like, as Cody's great, but.
Yeah. Oh, no, I don't think he sells 10,000 tickets. I mean, look at the venues they play now, right? Like, you know, you need WWE grade talent to fill a WWE grade environment. People who know that these people are out there. You would think that, I mean, I don't know if CM Punk has commented on this, but like, you know, if he's ever going to wrestle again,
yeah,
an event that kind of sticks it to the WWE and shows him to be a huge hero in his hometown, like, why would that, what part of CM Punk do we think wouldn't be into that?
It's weird to me that he doesn't just want to be a huge indie star, because, you know, it's like, how much money could the man be making right now? Just with a few dates a year, really. Like, I know he kind of wants to prove that he can do something new. And I watched that whole documentary series about him training for his UFC fight and all that kind of stuff. But it's like, dude, I'm sorry. Like, in your mid to late 30s, starting to train to fight against guys who've been doing this since they were teenagers. It's like, you're not necessarily that type of athlete, right? Like,
no.
So let's just, why don't you just cash in while you're a young man on the name you've built? And he is friggin' awesome. I would love to see him show up at a bunch of indies, you know, shows and do what Cody's been doing, which is elevating the scene and making a ton of money.
What I do believe he would not like to do is start calling random indie promoters and negotiating his, $800 fee and making sure that he got his travel covered, right?
But see, like, does he have to do that? Like, do you think Cody? I don't know. Do you think it's that hard for Cody that he's? Yeah,
I think there's a reason why Cody signed exclusive with ROH. I think that there's a reason why he's not playing all these indies anymore because that's annoying.
Like, that is true. That is true.
I think there are some people, and let's just say for sake of argument that those people could be nicknamed Joey Ryan, who. Really, like that's like a part of what they really love, right? Is just making having those Tetris bricks fall so he makes the maximum amount of money, right?
Well, he's figured out like the perfect formula too, where he doesn't have to take very many back bumps either along the way.
Oh, Jesus, you right?
Know. Come out, entertain the hell out of the crowd, maybe take one or two, you know, actual bumps, and then dick pluck somebody. Have, you know, an intergender match, collect your paycheck, move
That's
on,
it.
Do it again.
Yeah,
it's fantastic.
Peace out. Absolutely. Yeah, you know.
He cracked the code.
It's going to be curious. All right, here, take your bets then. Where is this going to take place out of those four cities?
I think L.A., the Ontario, California, that makes a lot of sense to me because there's a lot of people there, you know. Cow Palace is a, you know, it's a venue that's a little run down. I think you want to have it at something that feels a little more updated, you know.
Well, I don't even know where were they run in Ontario.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, because I don't know if there's a new 10,000 seat venue that they'd be looking for. To me, the big question is, all right, do you care about, I mean, like, London was one of them. You could run London. It's hot as hell. that the independent wrestling is
alive
and well in the UK.
There.
Huge. They get a ton of great talent for it. But it's in London, right? None of these guys are British. You would think that they would want to do it in America. It's easier to get the talent, and they'd be able to promote it a lot more, right? Unless they want to move to London for a couple months. I don't know. I mean, selfishly, of course, I wanted to be in San Francisco. Like,
sure, maybe. Yeah. I mean, that'd be fantastic.
I mean, for San Francisco to be the epicenter of independent wrestling.
I mean, I think they should go to Cedar Park, which I just was at for an NXT show. And it was fantastic. Plenty of seats there. Great venue.
I'll tell you
brand
what. Can
new
we,
stadium, HEB Center. Oh, my God.
Can
so
we
good.
Make can we make the deal now? If it comes to San Francisco, you're coming home, right?
All right, all right, all right.
We'll peel it off of the Wrestle Fund.
Look, I mean, I already have lots of incentive just to come to San Francisco, but, you know, throw one more little, you know, one more little thing onto the pile and I'm in.
Well, I'll tell you what, somebody, Reggie33, bring it. You were talking about intergender matches. He mentions, do you ever think we'll see a real intergender match in WWE? I remind you, we saw an intergender match with Ellsworth and Becky Lynch.
Ellsworth and,
weeks ago.
Yeah. Becky Lynch, yeah.
But also, and this is from our friends there at Pro Wrestling Sheet, the now, I think, close to confirmed rumor is that there will be a new, starting in January, a new show basically in the 205 Live spot, recorded, going live on Facebook after SmackDown is over. And part of that rumor was it might be an intergender show. That it might be men versus women in the show.
Could be interesting.
So we'll see. We shall.
I mean, they're bringing in all these. You know, the rumor is too is that Ronda Rousey is super close to coming. So you've got some women that you could sell as legitimately tough, right?
And also, there's a reason when we mentioned things are in a holding pattern. Like, I think this is the reason why. It's because we're about to get a shit ton new stuff that's going to put us on the road to WrestleMania.
That's right. Yeah. Moving in.
Keep our eyes. All right. We have a couple more news stories. We don't have to spend a lot of time on them. WWE shares are the highest since March 2014.
Yeah, this is kind of an interesting thing because I'm not really sure what spurred this on, but it's basically been on a steady incline. For about the last, I mean, basically there was a huge dip after this height and we haven't quite reached it, but, after it dipped down in about like 2015 or so, it's just been kind of rising ever since and hasn't really slowed down. So
well,
good news.
I think part of it is there is just a realization that they spun up the network when they should have. Right, that they were ahead of the game and not behind the game, by pushing everybody that they could into a $9.99 price model, just getting that $10 every single.
But now,
single
when did the network actually launch?
That was the WrestleMania 30, and we are at WrestleMania 30.
Okay, so February 2014 is when they launched it. February of 2014, and that basically leads up to the excitement around it, because if you look at it, goes, basically skyrockets from the moment it launches, and then March it kind of reaches its apex right after it's been launched.
Yeah,
because everyone's super excited about it.
Well, WrestleMania too. Everybody needs to get it for WrestleMania.
Yeah. But then we get the news. Remember. Not that many people had signed up, right?
Yeah.
I know you remember this, like, the numbers were disappointing.
Yeah.
That's what we see, this huge, like, it loses 66% of its value over the next, like, 3 months to May 16, 2014. That's the low point where it's, like, it was at 30 a share. It's down to 11 a share, right? Now, basically, it's just been, like, the steady increase for the next 3 years, right? And now we're suddenly like almost back to that. So I think really it's just like this is the problem with something like this WWE Network launch. It's like too many people have too much money involved and expect the world in return. And it's like there's so much fluctuation around just speculation, right? And not actual, like, long-term plans. It's like, no, my God, we're freaking out. Everybody freaks out.
Well, remember...
Everything changes.
Remember, the other thing that happened around that time was WWE signed their new deal with USA.
Sure, yeah.
And that was not as rich as WWE wanted it to be, yeah, because they were expecting to get paid more along the lines of live sports, and USA or anybody else was not willing to pay them that.
Was still like, yeah, but it's not real. But you know, but it also like shows that like unnatural spikes are just not really a good thing. Like this last 3 years has just been like kind of steady growth, and this is good for like all of wrestling. You know, the fact that the big brand is
making money. I mean, I think
is making
it's,
money.
It,
yeah,
it shows
like,
that the industry
is
healthy.
Making money.
People want to see it. All right, Willie, let's go ahead and get into one of our most popular segments here. It, what separates this show from the knuckle draggers in the rest of our category? Let's talk about the philosophical question. What do you got for us? Philosophically speaking, how can we contextualize professional wrestling?
So, all right. So you remember when you were a kid?
Yeah.
You'd be playing on the playground. And you really wanted to tackle the big questions, right? And like here on the 1-900 Wrestling Show, we do some pretty serious philosophical discussions.
Yeah.
But I kind of wanted to bring it back to the schoolyard a little bit. You know, who would win in a fight, Spider-Man or Batman? Like these, you know, these are things like can only be answered by, you know, the other second grader in your class.
Yeah.
So let's do that a little bit. So I want to sometimes we'll sidebar into schoolyard philosophy.
That's
as
fine,
it relates
sure
to wrestling. So if you could, Justin, if you could Superman punch anybody in history, who would it be? And you can't say Hitler because that's the obvious answer. Obviously, everyone's going to Superman punch Hitler.
Now,
right?
Can I? All right. In defense of the Hitler pick, it's not necessarily just because he is obviously almost universally recognized in our modern culture to be the most odious spectacle of odiousness, right?
Sure, sure, sure.
But also because he was always speaking. Like, that's when I can imagine.
Oh, he's cutting promos, and then, yeah, you Superman punch him out of nowhere.
right? Just right across his Hitlery jaw.
Yeah.
So I would then say I would want somebody else who is always speaking. Like, I would want somebody who is, like, up at a podium. Like, I want somebody else so Roman can just come running through the audience, take an unnatural jump, like, upward, and then just Superman punch him right in the face. So, man, I don't know who else is like a bad person who gave speeches. I mean, I guess I'd have a hard time not saying a dictator. Like, if it's not going to be Hitler, then I would want to go with like a Stalin or someone.
Okay, yeah, Stalin. I think very, very punchable. Face.
Chairman Mao. Chairman Mao's got to eat a Superman punch. Hey, what's Chinese for?
Ooh, yeah, that's pretty good. I kind of like that. I'm going to go one old school and I'm going to go one new school.
All right.
So I'll give you, okay, my first one, if I could use a time machine and go back in time, at the moment he's about to assassinate President Lincoln, I would Superman punch John Wilkes Booth.
Oh, just, my God.
Yeah. Just now from that, like, there's another balcony above that nobody even knew about.
Yeah.
I come down from above. Then we triple powerbomb him down onto the stage. Me, Lincoln, and his wife.
And Mary Todd. Mary Todd. Yeah. Mary Todd's the dean.
Yeah,
I assume that you're going to be the Seth, even though you Superman punch, because Abe's got to be the one.
Sure. Yeah, because Lincoln deserves to be
the Roman
Reigns, and that he's the big dog, clearly. So yeah, definitely John Wilkes Booth. And then if I'm going to go modern times, I'm going to Superman punch Steve Bannon because I feel like probably his face would like explode to a single Superman punch.
He's got a
punch.
Jiggly face. He's got a very jiggly face. It would, sure. Slow motion would certainly.
Yeah, you could slow-mo that. Yeah. Like speed it up right at impact and then just blah, 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 like, yeah, there'd be a lot of that going on. He'd probably need reconstructive surgery after one Superman punch. So, now I'm going to go modern time Steve Bannon.
Now when you get into the idea of historical moments that could be made better with a Superman punch.
Oh, yeah. Like if you could just add a Superman punch to this moment in history.
Yeah. Oh, now we're talking. Now, I feel like, in fact, I feel like all of the French Revolution or just the musical Les Mis could be made better with just Roman Reigns in it.
Sure.
Just Superman entering. Punching people.
Yeah. I love that the Superman punch it's used like 3 or 4 times a match.
Yeah.
But every single time it's the announcers put it over as if it's like the most exciting thing they've ever seen in their lives.
The thing is, it looks great. It's actually a great looking move. Yeah. Like he's like, there's a tremendous amount of athleticism that goes into like, cause you want to know what he has? He has like that body control, like a Kiari Sane, what makes her elbow drop so good.
Yeah.
Right. Is that there's just this like awesome, very aesthetically pleasing. Like I bet you both of them
in time for a second while she's up in the air. Yeah. You know?
I bet you both of them actually, if you pause their bodies would fit on the golden ratio. Like it would just be like, there's just something about that our human brains recognize as like, that's pleasing. I like that.
Yeah, it's like AJ Styles and his forearms, right? It's like, all that stuff. There's just something about that moment in time when they're hitting it that just looks great. And when he first did it, it was like, first of all, it's a legit move. And like the UFC, people Superman punch
That's
each
a thing,
other.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they knock people out with it. But like when it first happened, it was like nobody had really been doing that. It was a kind of a fresh take on an old classic, you know?
Well, because closed fists were like banned from wrestling.
That's true. Forever, it was just slaps and forearms and stuff. But yeah, but you're right. Yeah, the phenomenal forearm I would put in the same category as Kairi Sane's elbow drop. And it's something about those moves, man.
It was just the air time and because AJ also he has like that like he pulls his knee up, right? Like it's just like the whole body's going into it. All right. Hey, I'll tell you what. I am totally unprepared for this episode, and therefore I do not have a Melodica challenge. We will get back. I need to reset because I don't know where we are. We've been missing weeks and stuff because we've been traveling and shit's
been
going down.
Stuff going on. I got called into work on Monday, which was weird because we barely even run shows on Mondays. So I was like, wait, we have a show tonight? And he was like, yeah, and I don't have bartenders. So yeah, so I suddenly had to go in. It's just been kind of a mess. But
all right. Well, here, look at this. Reggie33, bring it. A beautiful, beautiful suggestion. Roman Reigns. There's all the rabble rousing in East and West Germany, right? Next thing you know, Roman. Ooh, Superman punched the Berlin Wall. The whole thing
there
comes down. David Hasselhoff comes out, starts singing. Now that's a moment in time that would be bettered by a Superman punch.
Mr. Reigns. Tear down that wall. And then he just suddenly comes in. You got Hasselhoff in the background singing. Roman Reigns comes in. One punch, the whole thing from the center out just starts just getting
demolished.
How about
this one? Imagine this. Dingy dark cell, right? All of a sudden, Roman Reigns comes running. Ooh, comes running up, punches the lock right off the cell. Nelson Mandela emerges, and now we have freedom in South Africa.
Wow! Nelson Mandela comes out. They immediately like start the South African national anthem. Put
a
Bible under his hand and swear him in as president. Right?
Power bombs a racist. It's great. All right. So we will not have a Melodica challenge today. However, we will have one next week on Monday when we do the show. I do have a pick though. Something that I highly recommend everybody listen to, Jimmy Jacobs on the Talk is Jericho podcast. To be very, very fair, I do not think that for all the talents that Chris Jericho has, and he is a man of tremendous talents, is not the best interviewer in the world. I think that even of the ex-wrestlers turned interviewers, that some of them are as good or better. Not to say he's bad, he's just not the best. However, I highly recommend everybody listen to this Jimmy Jacobs interview. Not only do you get the behind-the-scenes a story of how somebody who was a lifelong indie wrestler becomes a writer, is really the first person to do that. Also, all the behind-the-scenes on the best friends and the list of Jericho and that whole KO run. But also, and this is, I think, something that really is worth listening to, he goes a lot into, sort of his relationship with drugs and the fact that he was on drugs when he decided that he wanted to become a WWE writer. He went to rehab. He's got a really interesting quote about rehab that I'll tell you right now just to bring you into the door. You know, he makes the point that, you know, whenever you're dealing with rehab or depression, that the worst thing is that you can't trust the voice in your head. And that's what's so disorienting, and that's what's so hard about it, is that you're very often, you know, your instinct is not rooting for you. It's rooting for whatever pattern it's trying to feed. And that's hard. It's hard to deal with. And for something about that really kind of struck me. And I think that beyond depression and rehab and everything, I think it is something that, like, we can all identify with, that you know, the less we feel that we feel close to ourselves is when we can't trust our own inner monologue to point us in the right direction. So go ahead and check that out. Talk is Jericho with Jimmy Jacobs. I thought was exceptional. All right, Willie, where can people find you?
Check me out on Twitter. I'm at Willie Dills. Twitch.tv/WillieDills is where you can find me streaming. Hearthstone is getting a new expansion tomorrow.
Tomorrow, right?
Yeah, tomorrow. So look for that. I'll be pretty much streaming all day. It's going to be quite fun.
What classes look good just based on the card reviews?
I would say top three classes that I will assume right now, top three classes are going to be Druid, Mage, and Priest.
Nice. And
how it feels. Yeah.
What kind of mage archetypes are we looking at?
Probably like some sort of a burn style tempo mage, like your secret mage thing that you really liked.
Yep.
Is getting a little bit of support. One new really good secret that burns the face when it, like, it kills a minion and then puts the rest of the damage to the face. I don't know if you saw that one.
No,
I didn't. Then also you get the legendary mage weapon, which draws three cards at the end of every turn. And, you know, one of the problems with that secret mage deck was running out of cards, right?
So, yeah.
Yeah. If you could draw through your whole deck, you'd always win with that deck. So,
no crap.
There you go. Yes. Wonderful.
Delightful. Well, then I'll tell you what. You will probably see me. I'll probably give you a ring-a-ding-ding while you're streaming there. We'll have a good time. You can go ahead and follow, of course, twitch.tv/WillieDills. You can follow me on Twitch, twitch.tv/JustinRYoung. Stickers or DIAF.com. Got some rad new pins for that ass. We got that Please Don't Die pin. We got a nice little Diamond Club pin. We got a Captain Morgan. Mer-hoy! Go ahead and check it out. All over there at stickersordiaf.com. And, of course, my Twitter, Justin R. Young. But until next time.
I want you to call me.
This is 1-900-WRESTLING. Please feel free to call us back next week.
And nobody, but nobody
until then,
like me. Remember the number 1-900
Wrestling.
Stupid idiots.
They call me Hara.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
And his name is John Cena.
Well, look at this prima donna.
Thank God Donald Trump's a whole idiot.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.